Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Happy Thursday to you. So here's my question for you today to think about. What does it mean to live a healthy life? If someone was to ask you that question, how would you answer it? You know, God wired us as beings with integrated systems so that when one system is underperforming or out of whack, it affects every other area of our lives. Well, I have a very important, wonderful guest in studio with me to talk about how these systems work together, how we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I cannot wait for you to meet this guest. I think you're here by divine appointment. I just really believe this is going to be a light bulb moment for many of you. Second hour, Focus on the Family's Glenn Stanton joins me to talk about cohabitation. Do you know that there are scientific evidence that cohabitating before living together before you get married will hurt your health, will hurt your vocation, will hurt your income? It's absolutely amazing. Even with faith aside, scientific evidence proves that it is bad for you, and he's going to make the case as to why. Well, if you listen often enough, you've heard the story. I had Lyme disease many, many years ago in my 20s, devastated by the disease when I was a young mama. And in my adult life now, if I'm honest, I haven't felt that great for a couple of years. And I mentioned this story the other day, and I heard from a number of you for how it impacted you. But I'm seeing a neurologist, chiropractor, man of God, and this is the guy that's in studio with me today. But I got to tell you, if you didn't hear this story, I'm getting ready to do my spring speaking season. I'm right in the middle of it now where we're gone every single weekend. So my hubby and I both work full time, and then we're on the road on the weekends. It's pretty intense for us. Well, I started to get a cold, and my face was going numb. Different symptoms were flaring, and I just felt despair. Because I know what travel costs me when I feel well. I happened to have a Monday appointment with Dr. Troy, and I was just bucking up, buttercup. I wasn't about to talk to him about how I was feeling about my travel. I just was there for a checkup and to get things put right. But he was discerning something in me and just said, you know, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you another question. And then he said, just repeat after me. He said, I want you to say, I forgive myself for being sick. And I literally looked up to him and started to cry, and I couldn't stop. It was like the dam broke, and I did not realize how much I'd been holding myself in contempt for my health struggle. And he said, Susie, self-contempt will damage you more than almost anything, your emotions, your physical health, your spiritual health. Well, long story short, that appointment was a game changer for me because I actually did end up getting sick, a chest cold for my next event, but I didn't feel bad about feeling bad. Something changed for me. We're going to talk about that, but what Dr. Troy has to say about autoimmune disorders, about the connection between emotional, chemical, physical health, and how he says it's reinforced by our spiritual and our faith life. So much here. I can't wait for you to meet him. And I'm trying to decide if I want to open the phones for questions or just give him all the time. We're going to have to get him back if we can. But I'm going to do this because you may have questions about autoimmune disorders. You may have questions about fatigue. This is something interesting. He says Alzheimer's is like diabetes on the brain. I bet that's going to make you want to call in, right? So here's the number. It's toll-free, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. You can email me, Susie, at myfaithradio.com. Let me tell you about him, and we'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy Sperrell is CEO and founder of Synapse, a center for health and healing. Dr. Troy travels extensively, conducting seminars on disease prevention and healing through a faith-filled, healthy lifestyle. His mission is to impact the well-being of people around the world by providing solutions to complicated life issues and to create sanctuaries that promote the restoration and perpetuation of health, happiness, and prosperity. His company is located in Eagan, Minnesota, and I know we've got listeners from all over the country. I'm just saying it's worth a trip, and people do come from out of state, from the edges of the country to see him. His office is located in Eagan, Minnesota. Again, we'll link that up on the show page today. Dr. Troy, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Such an honor to have you in studio. And I mean, the moment I met you, I'm like, I got to get him on this show. So, you know, we love to start out our conversations talking scripture. And you chose Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged swords, piercing the division of the soul and the spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Talk about why you chose that passage.
Well, for me, it just, the words and the verbiage is very, very, it's sharp, it's to the point, and I like to get to the point with the work that I do, and our thoughts, we have to guard them, and people, I don't really think, understand how much our own thoughts impact us, and so a lot of the work I do is physical, and we go through the physical, but by identifying how our negative thoughts, our automatic negative thoughts can actually impact us, it's fairly eye-opening for a lot of people. And so that says it beautifully, I think.
You know, what's amazing is, you know, I worked for years to break free from the bondage of others' opinions, so to speak. You know what I mean? So I could just be the person God intended me to be without being so stuck to what other people think of me. I mean, for years, I had no idea that I'd been holding myself in contempt for being sick. And you nailed it. You said, you don't want to let people down, do you? Because I did let my little ones down when I was sick. And I told you this at my last appointment, but that next weekend, spoke to 637 women and, again, hundreds of women. I had women fall into my arms sobbing who had chronic illnesses saying, I never realized. So the added burden. So here they're physically sick, and then they're holding themselves into contempt for being sick. How often do you see that?
Every day.
Really?
Every single day. Yeah. It's almost like one part of our brain is saying, go, 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 all the time. And we've got the foot on the gas pedal, and another part saying stop, stop, stop. So it's like driving your car with one foot on the gas and one foot on the brake, and we're all going through life like that, and it's hard on us. And so we feel the wear and tear of life because of these thoughts. And so I see it, and it all comes from great places, great intentions, but I see it every single day.
Absolutely amazing. We're going to get to your story in a moment, but I just got to tell you what's happened for me, I feel like, internally since I've been seeing you. You know, for 2 years, I've not been fully myself. I'm thinking that's when this stuff sort of reenacted or just kind of acted up. But I always held the core belief, you can't, Limes can't do that. I just did. And I did. Denial is not just a river in Egypt. I'm just saying, you know, it was a very happy place for me. But every time the symptoms would flare, it would create fear and anxiety and all these things because I was not willing to take a look at it. When I saw you and you ordered blood work and things got sort of confirmed, I can deal with what I know. I mean, it took the anxiety out. I have joy. I know how I need to care for myself. I mean, I marvel at just what knowledge does for the health.
Yeah, sometimes just having a plan really is half the battle because then you at least know what you're dealing with.
Exactly.
And that's a big part of it.
So you have a story, a health story of your own. I don't know this story, no. So I might have some jaw-dropping moments and have to remind myself this is live radio, so I'll try not to overreact here. But if you don't mind, as much as you're comfortable, share your story.
Yeah, it was back in the 90s, and I was always been a type A type of person, and I really, well, it was about halfway through college when I started to really assess what I wanted to do with my life and realized that I wasn't quite doing it. And so I had to make a few changes as far as schooling, and I was kind of searching. And at the same time, I was a Division I rugby player, and so I know you look at me now and think instant
totally.
Athlete.
Cool
Division
factor.
I, yes.
Just went up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I was playing Division I rugby. I was putting myself through college at the time, so working from 6:30 till about 2, 3 in the morning, then back at school the next morning. So long story short, I kind of burnt the candle at both ends, and it came back to haunt me. In my mid-20s, between 25 and 28, I started getting pretty sick. And when I had gone to chiropractic school, about three-quarters of the way through, I lost function of my arms. And prior to that, I actually had something called multiple white dot syndrome. So I went blind for 3 months.
My.
I wrote about this in a book in 2000. So not a lot of people know my story except for the ones that read the book. But those experiences kind of, they influence you.
Absolutely.
And so I was told I'd be in a wheelchair the rest of my life, and that was the diagnosis I got. And what I found was a couple things. I was on a path to traditional medicine, and they didn't have a lot of answers for me. And it was a little bit disheartening. And then I went to alternative medicine, and I got diagnosed with everything under the sun and also was pretty disheartened. And so long story short, I ended up really kind of picking and choosing the best from both worlds. I traveled all over the country to see specialists. I'm originally from Canada, so I went back up to Canada to see some doctors, down to Texas to see some doctors, really all over the place. And what happened was I had some pretty strong positive findings, and some of them were on the emotional front. I went through a process of self-discovery where I was actually standing up in a class, and we had to people would stand up, and this person would ask them questions, much like you experienced with myself. And they would kind of work through their stuff in front of everyone. Mm. And the funny thing is, I could see everyone else's stuff. They would say up, and I'd say, oh, he's got dad issues. Oh, she is not a fan of her mother. Oh, she's really, really not doing well with money. And I could see everyone's like that, just real, real quick. And then it was my turn. And I stood up, and I thought, I got this. Because I'm so intuitive, you know. I got it.
My problem is I know all of your problems.
Yes, I know all of your problems. So I was up the longest. It took the longest for him to get through this thick skull of mine. Mm. And the long and short it was, I had a self-limiting belief. I thought that I was a weak, weak man. And it came from a lot of other things in life. You get knocked down and stuff. And I was the type A overachiever, Division I rugby player, captain of the team type person. So this shocked everyone. But the second that revelation came, it was like a weight was lifted from my shoulders. So I had felt it. So I knew how important emotions were. And then I switched from medical school and found chiropractic. It was a better fit for my philosophy. I was not a medicine taker at all. And I started really working in that area, and took about 2 years, but I did not end up in a wheelchair. I got my arm strength back. And the clinic that I have now came from the learning that I had to go through to get my health back. And nothing speeds up the learning curve for a practitioner, physician, than getting sick themselves, I'll tell you that.
Wow. Wow. We've got an anonymous caller checking in from St. Paul. We're going to revisit Dr. Troy's story throughout this hour, and you're just not going to believe what he's learned. And he's not, I don't want to say just a chiropractor, because chiropractors are so important, but there's neurology training. There is, you talk about, the chemical, the emotional, the physical. You call that a triad, I believe.
Triad of health, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. So we've got lots to unpack, but I want to see if we can get this friend her question answered today. Hey, you're on the air.
Hi. I was just wondering, is there anything that you can do for your bones to strengthen? I'm pretty sure they want to put me on, like, that bone strengthener medication, and I really don't want to take it, and they want to do a bone scan, and I don't want to do that either, because they always, you know, tell you the worst thing. And I'm already doing a lot of good things, like spinach and lettuce and kiwi and, you know, juicing. And I take calcium. I take vitamin D3, 2,000 units.
I'm gonna jump in here. So they're wanting to put you on Fosamax or something like that. Is that right?
Yeah, one of those drugs.
Okay,
yep, one
all right. Of. We're going to have Dr. Troy answer. You hang on and listen.
Yeah, so generally speaking, how I'm going to answer you is more from a functional medicine perspective, and what that means is optimal health type of perspective. And so when it comes to bone density, there's some very key factors. As we age, we lose the ability to actually lay down the bone, and you need a couple things working for you. Number one, anytime you have physical weight-bearing exercise, there's a law called Wolf's Law that helps with the laying down of the calcium into the bones. And so you need the physical exercise, whether it be with weights or walking or something specifically weight-bearing. And so that helps a lot with the bones in particular. The other components are you have to really be on top of what we call an acid-alkaline base. If you're too acidic, your body is going to start pulling things to neutralize the acid. Calcium is one of the best things you can do to neutralize acid, right? If you're having an acidic stomach, they tell you to take calcium carbonate or something like that, or Tums, basically, to neutralize it. So your body will literally pull calcium from your bones to neutralize the acid in your body. So things that are really, really acidic in our life are things like coffee. Antibiotics are very, very acidic, and other meat. So if you Google acid versus alkaline foods, you'll get a nice little chart of what foods, and 80% of your diet and lifestyle should be from that alkaline arena. Now, other things can cause inflammation and acidic type changes in your body. Mental stress is one of them. We've talked a little bit about that already. And so when we talk about the triad of health, it really is a balance of the mental, chemical, and physical. So stress, whether it be excessive physical stress or mental stress, can cause inflammation and start to deplete these essential alkaline minerals like calcium. And so the other stuff that can actually start to affect you physically are imbalances. If you're exercising and working out, then you have to make sure things are nice and balanced. And that's what we do as chiropractors or massage therapists or yoga instructors will help you get as balanced as possible. If you keep those mental, physical, chemical things balanced, that's really going to serve you in the long run.
Ah, excellent advice. 877-933-2484 or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. When we return, we'll talk more about that. Tell me again, what is this called? Something triad.
Triad of health.
Triad of health. That's not too difficult. Why I can't grab hold of it, I don't know. Don't go away. More when we return.
Your love is like a mighty fire deep inside my bones. I feel like I could climb a thousand mountains all at once. And I never have to wonder if somebody cares for me. I love the Maker. And the Maker loves me.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise, talking to Dr. Troy Spurrell. He is CEO and founder of Synapse, a center for health and healing. And if you listen often enough, he's really somebody that God has used hugely in my life to just really usher me onto the path of healing. And I will tell you, you know, I'm a cyclist because if you listen enough, that's my happy, happy place, riding on a 90-degree day, 21 miles an hour, as hard as I can. This last summer, every 10 miles, I'd have to stop, get off my bike, bend over, and let the weight of my helmet pull on my neck. I was sure that I had three or four bulging discs on top of everything else going on. I saw Dr. Troy once, and this epic adjustment changed my life forever. I have no more pinching in my neck, and the facial numbing is going away, and I'm just feeling better for so many reasons. So grateful. I see the calls coming in. We're going to get to you. Hang on, if you would. Dr. Troy, you mentioned something really important, the triad of health. I think so often we may focus on one at the expense of the others, and we wonder why we're not seeing the results. But you say these are very intricately connected. Speak to that.
Yeah, very intricately. You can't really influence one without it influencing the other. So in our current medical model, we really just look at one thing, and we try and find one solution for that one problem. Mm-hmm. And it's more like a spider's web. It's like a matrix of intertangling. Because if you think about it, the mental, chemical, and physical, if you have mental stress, how does that affect your physical being? We know that stress causes muscle tension, but there's so many more things it alters in our physiology. And then if you have a physical imbalance, if people are on chronic pain for a long time, that eventually leads to depression or anxiety. And so we start to see the physical affect the mental. And of course, when it comes to chemical, those are things like nutrition and hormones. And that might be the one exception, right? And hormones don't affect us mentally, right?
Yeah.
Right?
He's surrounded by women right now. Let's go with that.
Let's just go with that. But the reality is they really do intertwine. And so a lot of times people will come in and they'll have some type of physical ailment, but we'll identify that it's actually a problem with their thyroid hormone or their estrogen or a food allergen or a thought or a combination. Like fibromyalgia is one thing you can take to the bank, has an imbalance with all three things.
Wow.
We always have to help with the physical, mental, and chemical to get people through fibromyalgia.
And you're seeing results with people with fibro?
Often, a lot, yes.
Wow, amazing. Yeah. We've got Terry checking in from Cottage Grove. She's got a question for you today. Hey, Terry, you're on the air.
Hi. My question is in regard to my husband. He has psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis. The medication that he takes is really hard on his kidneys, you know, for certain. I think it may also be hard on some other internal organs. I'm wondering if there's any other alternative treatments that he may be able to pursue for something like that.
Terry, thanks.
Yes, there is. It's a very challenging one. And the reality is in functional medicine, again, we're always looking at each person as an individual. So it's not as black and white as we'd like it. But the reality is we usually see some common imbalances when it comes to psoriatic arthritis. And I'll throw some out there, and this is by no means it means what's going on with him. But generally speaking, there are different areas to look at. And so when it comes to diet and some of the chemical stuff, we almost always see two major things. A lot of people are having challenges with their liver system. So their liver system is not breaking things down as effectively. They're not detoxifying. And when you don't detoxify the liver, it doesn't clear your lymph system. Lymph is Greek for, literally it means fast-flowing river. So it's a river of garbage that goes to the liver system. And when the liver's backed up, your garbage stream kind of backs out the other way, which means it comes out through the skin, is just a visual way of looking at it. And so liver support, whether that means, again, things that are broken down in the liver, are stuff like coffee, alcohol, inflammation from food, so overeating can congest the liver as well. And so the liver is very, very important when it comes to any type of the psoriatic arthritis. And then we tend to see dairy sensitivities and dairy allergies or dairy intolerances being a big factor with the psoriatic arthritis. Not a guarantee, but that's very, very common. And when it comes from an emotional perspective, funny enough, there is a very common component when it comes to psoriatic arthritis, not with everyone, but it's common enough for me to mention it here, and that's one of resentment. And so a lot of times we will look at people with resentment, and it does actually impact their ability for their liver system to detoxify properly. And it's just very, very common to look back and at least check in on that to see if there's any areas of resentment when it comes to just life. And it can be even from childhood, stuff that's been there for a long time. Of course, there's always genetic predispositions and other factors as well. But just generally, without knowing much more information, that's where I'd probably start.
Are people typically open to you touching on the emotional side of things, resentment being an issue?
Women, yes.
Men
is an
so
art or a skill.
Art or a skill, very
so
good.
So I go into my rugby days a little bit, and I start talking about, you know, how do you feel about your feelings, you know, stuff like that.
Boy, that is really something. And yet, if we don't want to pay attention to the emotional, we're going to miss a huge aspect of our health and our healing, aren't we?
Yeah. It's really underserved in this nation, well, worldwide, but it's really underserved in this nation when it comes to healthcare.
Wow. All right, Terry, thank you for that call. Linda, I see your call. Allison, Dennis, we got a few more coming in. We want to get to all of these. If you're not able to hold, Grace is doing a pretty good job at writing your question on the board. So, Linda's question says, what does Troy mean by Alzheimer's being diabetes of the brain? We're going to tackle that question next. Linda, if you have more to that question, you can hang on and ask Dr. Troy yourself. But that's the thing we'll tackle on the other side. 877-93-FAITH. That's a toll-free call, 877-933-2484. And Susie at myfaithradio.com. That's the email. You can send your questions that way as well. More with Dr. Troy when we return. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. This is such an important show. I knew it would be. I've got Dr. Troy Spurl in studio with me. He's CEO and founder of Synapse, the Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. But he's got people traveling from around the country to see him. And I know why. I see him, and he's been helping me significantly. As soon as I met him, I just saw how he really brings into consideration emotional, physical, chemical, and, you know, even you discerning me being a person of faith, I know you walk that line very carefully, and you have to, but I could tell that you could tell that I was a Christian, and you said, I know you're a person of faith, and so in your case, I want you to reinforce this spiritually speaking, too. That was a powerful statement, because they all work together, don't they?
Yeah, they really do, and for me, the image I have in my mind is one of a triangle with the mental, chemical, and physical, and it's all backed up by my spiritual faith. It's all backed up by my by my faith. And the reality is, the mental, chemical, and physical, when I don't have a solution or answer for someone, I just ask a better question. I pray. And so that has served me very well to date. And I'm always surprised. I shouldn't be surprised, but I am always surprised that at the outcomes. And I just know in my heart there's an answer to every question. I may not be the tool that God uses with this person in front of me, but I'm still going to try my best. And I just have seen answers to complicated scenarios be given like on a drop of a dime. It's just unbelievable.
And I see all these calls. I want to get you in, but I just have to say, you know, the Bible talks about his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And the load that I was carrying with the emotional angst around my health was not something God assigned to me. And after meeting with you that day, and just honestly, it was a breakthrough moment for me. The stuff I'm dealing with, I can totally deal with it. But it was the emotional baggage that was attached to it.
Yeah, and you don't know you have it.
Right.
That's the thing. We're all walking around with it. We don't know we have it. And so that's why I always tell people it's important to keep working on your health. As a Christian, you state you're a Christian, but it's a process. Mm-hmm. And you're always striving for that righteousness. And it's actually same for our health. Even though you're eating better, you might be, our previous caller talked about eating spinach and eating this. Well, that's great. But if you're combining the spinach with a bowl of M&Ms, there's something that's going to, there's a cause and effect to that. So there's always that strive for righteousness, that strive for perfection, knowing we're going to fall short, which just increases our gratitude that much more for his grace.
Yeah.
And that walk is the same spiritually, and it is with our health. It's the same thing. So seeing what I've seen, I wish I could just impart that into everyone right away, because it's absolutely miracles walking around us that we don't, and it's not as complicated as we make it. It's really not.
I'm finishing all the sentences.
Yes.
I'm so into this. I'm so sorry. Make it. You couldn't get there by yourself. Oh, that's my word. This is just so interesting to me. And you could be eating bowls of spinach and rehearsing and rehashing your disappointments or your grudges and still killing yourself.
Yes, that's
and
exactly
that's why
right.
It all goes together so much.
Yep.
Linda, you've been on hold. I have to send you a book of some kind for your patience. Grace, we'll have to get her address. Linda, thanks for your patience. You're on the air.
Yeah, I found it interesting when you mentioned that Alzheimer's is like diabetes on the brain, and I know that connection of sugar and inflammation. And so my question is just, if you could elaborate on that, what exactly do you mean by it?
Yeah, so what we're actually seeing now is that 2 out of every 3 people now over the age of 80 have Alzheimer's or some form of dementia, and it's increasing. So the scary thing is we're also seeing a lot of increase when it comes to sugar-related disorders and diseases. In fact, when I was first in school, they taught it as adult-onset diabetes and childhood-onset diabetes. That's what they called it. Adults got diabetes between the ages of 50 and 70 years of age, and kids were young children. Well, they had to change that. They changed it because people started getting diabetes before the age of 50. So they changed it to type 1 and type 2 diabetes. And the reality is, now we've seen diabetes go from people from between the ages of 50 to 70 to in their 40s, 30s, 20s. And now the youngest case at 9 years of age was just diagnosed this last year in 2015 with type 2 diabetes. But what that means is they've aged their pancreas to that of a 50 to 70-year-old in 9 years. That's what that means. And so all this sugar, we're speeding up the aging process. When it comes to Alzheimer's, we now know it is a vital process in why we get dementia and Alzheimer's. It's an inability for your brain to regulate blood sugar. But there's 2 other factors. In order to help prevent Alzheimer's, we know there's 3 things that you can really do to put them into your favor. Number one is balanced blood sugar. And that's throughout a lifestyle. So that means more than just 3 months, 6 months. We're talking about years of balanced, consistent blood sugar. Number 2, staying socially active. That's a big one. What that means is not staying at home watching TV. They did a great study, a 99-year nun study, where they actually looked at the nuns, and they found out that the nuns that were playing cards and talking and being part of social groups had a much, much better chance of not getting Alzheimer's and dementia. And the third part was antioxidants. Antioxidants come from fruit and vegetables and key supplements, things like vitamin C. And the people who had a high antioxidant diet, socially active, and balanced blood sugar, they're the ones who are not getting dementia and Alzheimer's. So they actually are calling it in our world right now diabetes of the brain or type 3 diabetes.
Absolutely fascinating. Thank you so much, Linda, for that call. Allison's checking in from Ramsey, Minnesota. Allison, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hi, I have a question. I had a vertebral dissection at the age of 40, which caused a stroke, and I have Wallenberg syndrome as a result. And I'm wondering if you have any numbness on the right side of my body, some vertigo, mostly pain in the joints on the right side of my body, like nerve pain. I'm wondering what kind of treatment there is for that, because I take gabapentin right now, and it does very little.
Yeah, that's without getting more information, that's a tough one. But what I can tell you is when you have a vertebral dissection like that and you have decreased feedback from the right side of your body, when you have an injury there, our ability to function normally is dependent upon proper communication. When then there's a breakdown of communication from cell to cell, that's when we get dysfunction and eventually disease. It's the same as a relationship, too. A breakdown in communication between husband and wife will lead to dysfunction and lead to a diseased marriage. Same thing cell to cell, but it's important from side to side. So when you have something like that that's on your right side only, it's not sending the same signals back up to the brain. And the reason for the dizziness is because the left side of the body is sending signals at a different rate compared to the right side. So the only thing I can truly say is that's a very complicated scenario. You have to be very, very careful, and you really should be assessed by someone who does know the neuromuscular body. So a chiropractic neurologist or a functional neurologist do great work when it comes to identifying the imbalances from left to right when it comes to how to then work with that. Because you can't get treated traditionally by a chiropractor like other patients can when you have that scenario. And you have to be very, very discerning as far as what type of work do you do. So going to someone who does something functionally is very, very important because you have to carefully measure what your body can handle. We don't want to exceed your neurologic threshold.
Very good. Dennis from Woodbury, thanks for holding. You're on the air with Dr. Troy.
Hey, guys. I have a 10-year-old niece, and she has Lyme's disease, and she's her weight is really down, and she has just no appetite. She really doesn't want to eat, I mean, ever. I was wondering if you could tell me maybe about the latest treatments for that and anything else you might suggest.
Well, the best thing right now, we do actually have a lot more information on Lyme's in the last 2 years than probably the previous 25 years combined. So we're seeing a lot more. And there's a lot of different avenues people are going down. So I work with a lot of medical doctors here in town that do great work, and they use antibiotic therapy. And so I've worked with them, and I've seen results. Other people can't do antibiotics at all. And so Byron White has a homeopathic line that's worked really well, especially with children. And so the thing to remember is Lyme's affects the immune system, so you have to assess the immune system. So identifying what her vitamin D is very, very important. And one of the things I'm going to say, one of the problems or challenges with kids is that they get lathered up with all this sunscreen. We're so afraid of the sun that we lather up the sunscreen, and that blocks out 90% of the vitamin D that we're getting from the sun. And vitamin D is the main hormone that's in charge of regulating your immune system. So again, my general rule of thumb is this. If God made it, it's good. If we've changed it, it's not. Be careful. Be discerning. And so sun, we need sunlight. I'm going to be clear here. I'm against sunburns, but I'm pro-sun. So we need that sun. We need that vitamin D. But you have to identify what's going on with her immune system. You have to fix her digestive system. Is there foods that are causing problems, gluten, dairy, things she can't digest or tolerate? And that is all very, very important. When people get sick like this, it puts them into a fight-or-flight state. And there's an area of the brain that does two things. It monitors fight or flight or rest and digest. So they start to lose the ability to sleep well and restorative sleep. That's when we get healed at nighttime, basically. And our digestive system starts to go down. And so we live in this fight or flight scenario. And as a young child, it's hard to avoid sugar and hard to do the things you need to fix it. But that's what you have to do. You have to get them sleeping better, digesting better, boost their immune system, and get them out of that fight or flight state while at the same time you're going after the Lymes and the co-infections.
So for some, antibiotic would have a reverse effect on
correct.
Them. Right?
Yeah, you have to be very, very careful. And I've seen both, and it's a little too early. In a couple years, we'll know a little bit more because we're really seeing for the first time active reversals of Lymes consistently with similar protocols.
Interesting.
A lot of challenges, though. One of the most challenging things we run up against in the healthcare field.
Dennis, thanks for that call. Bobby, checking in from Minneapolis, thanks for your patience and holding. You got a question today.
I do. Thank you. I was wondering, is there an alternative to surgery for people who are diagnosed with Chiari malformation type 1?
Oh, no, there's not. Not that I know of. I've not found one.
I can't even believe he knows what that is.
Yeah, as a chiropractor, we have to know what that one is. But, yeah, there is not, unfortunately.
Wow, thanks for that call, dear. Bless you. Karen's checking in from Princeton. Hey, Karen, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Doing well. You got a question for Dr. Troy?
I do. I have recently been diagnosed with a Sjögren's syndrome, and have some autoimmune questions, and I am avoiding sugars. I am avoiding processed flours, flour, and but I'm just wondering. I am taking an
probiotic.
A probiotic, and I have taken ImmunoMD, I believe it's called, to try to help, but I'm not really sure where it doesn't seem like anybody knows what you can do to make it better. Persistently, it's just a dry mouth and dry eye.
Yeah, with autoimmune, it's one of those things that the National Institute of Health just increased their funding quite a bit, and they're actually thinking it's the one disease that's on the rise faster than any other disease in the United States. So I can't give you specifics. Well, I could, but that's actually a full hour on its on its own right. But I want to go through some highlights here. Autoimmune basically means confused immune system. It starts attacking your own body. So if you think about when you get confused, it's usually when you get overwhelmed. So you have to look at all the things that can overwhelm your immune system. First and foremost, it takes about 2 to 5 years with autoimmunity to get on top of it to manage it. And you have to really look at what types of things impact the immune system. Vitamin D, like I mentioned before, is crucial for the managing of your immune system, as is omega-3 oils and clean omega-3 oils, and a very, very potent antioxidant called glutathione. So that all the things that help bring those things into our body are very, very important. Then you have to really pull out all of the triggers, the things that really bog down your immune system. And one of the things we see for women in particular that I think is the main reason why they dominate autoimmune disease is estrogen imbalance. These things where we see estrogen dominance and estrogen toxicity, environmental chemicals and pollutants that mimic estrogens, even heavy metals. There are some genetic scenarios, too, with vitamin D polymorphisms and stuff like that, the receptors. And so it's important to get all of those things managed. Infection can also trigger autoimmune, and so can stress, mental stress. And all those things have the potential, there's 8 in total, that have the potential of really triggering it and aggravating it. And there are a lot of books out there right now that talk about autoimmune, and my recommendation is to read up on the new autoimmune books that are out there by functional medicine practitioners, and then find a functional medicine doctor, because they will make it simple for you once they get the lab work, because it's so common now.
Talking to Dr. Troy, I see more calls coming in. When we come back, I'm going to have Dr. Troy tell a story that he told me when I was in the office of this military man who was on the field, lost some of his comrades, came back to his tent, heard news that his son may not live through the night, and suddenly he was bedridden, and he was almost, I think, paralyzed, if I remember right. And I think he was that way for a couple of years, and then he came to see Dr. Troy. Wait till you hear the story. Absolutely amazing. We have time probably for a couple more calls, 877-933-2484, and email Susie@myfaithradio.com. Back in a moment. Wow, what an hour we've had. I see the calls are coming in. There's so many. The board is filling up again. We're not going to be able to get to all of you. I'm so very sorry. Talking to Dr. Troy today, Dr. Troy Spurl. He is CEO of Synapse, right?
Synapse.
A Center for Health and Healing. I should know that by heart since it's like my favorite place now. But anyway, we're taking calls, talking autoimmune. There's so much to ask you about. And Lord willing, I pray you'll come back next month because I feel like we're just scratching the surface on so many things. But I promised that you would tell a story that really speaks to the whole idea of that we are this combination of emotional, chemical, physical, spiritual. Tell the story.
So I was, it was quite a few years ago, probably about 10 or 11 years ago, and I got a call one day from the office, and it was a call from Germany, and there was one of our soldiers over there, and he had been just running and hit his head pretty hard on a board going into a tent, and he'd knocked himself out and got a concussion, and I guess he was taken back and was in the sick bay area, and that night he had heard news from back home that his newborn son may not make it through the night. And so they called, and the wife asked for them to call me because I had been studying in a neurology program, functional neurology, and they had a relative who had been interning with me. And so they wanted my opinion. And he'd been now, he woke up the next morning, was just locked up. He was kind of locked-in syndrome is what they call it, and he had was stiff and couldn't move. He could talk and he could shuffle. Fists were balled up and just kind of curled up and just real stiff, couldn't really walk. He could shuffle a little bit and could slow talk and stuff like that. But he'd been in that state for a year. And so they called me and I said, oh, it sounds like the area of the brain called the basal ganglia. And I said, just assess that if you can and see what happens. And I kind of heard the doctors on the other line snickering. They were laughing, to be blunt. So then I said, can you please put the wife back on the phone? I said, just get a PET scan. It's like an MRI, but if it's a hyperactive basal ganglia, it'll show up on the PET scan. It's really expensive, but it will at least tell you what's going on. And so I didn't think anything of it. And another year had gone by, and the wife was calling into the clinic. They said who it was and still calling from Germany. And I went on the phone, and she said, yes, they just did a PET scan last week. It shows basal ganglia. The Army's flying him to your clinic.
Wow.
And I said, well, I knew what area of the brain it was. I didn't know how to fix it. I didn't say I knew actually what I was going to do.
Yeah.
So I kind of panicked a little bit. And so they flew him over to the clinic, and I came in on a weekend and then ended up back at my house, actually. And we worked on him for multiple hours. And in functional neurology, when you are assessing an area of the brain, whenever you get a change in function, you just keep stimulating it to see when it fatigues. Well, I was checking this one area of the brain that dealt with muscle memory, and he started moving his fingers. And I asked his wife if he'd ever done that before, and she said no. So he kept doing it, And long story short, after about the sixth or seventh hour, he, after doing a series of stimulus to three different areas of the brain, he jumped up off the table, clapped his hands, said, okay, what's next, and just started walking. And we all kind of looked at each other, and then we started crying, and we hugged each other and stuff. And I thought, oh, my gosh, it's a miracle. It's just awesome. And a strange thing happened. He went to get on an airplane to fly back to South Dakota, where he was from, and he said something very, very key. He said, the second the engine started on the plane, it's as if my body remembered that vibration, and my hand started to tremble, and I went back into that frozen state.
Wow.
And so they turned around, he came back, and when he said that, I'm like, that sounds like post-traumatic stress disorder. And I started to assess different triggers. And first of all, I looked through my notes to see what we did that actually worked before. And I'm missing probably the most important part. The day he came, I saw him, and then I didn't know what to do, and so I prayed about it. And it's the first time, and this is just for you guys out there, if you're going to pray, pray in the shower. That's when God answers you instantly. That's just how it goes.
It's biblical.
Yes. It's in there somewhere, right?
Yeah,
shower.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So it was one of the first times I prayed about it, and instantly the word cerebellum just came. It just came right to me, and that's the area of the brain I kept stimulating over and over and over until he basically got up off the table. And so that turned into him coming back and telling me the story about how he felt the vibration triggered everything again. So what we did was I mimicked the same thing, stimulated the three areas of the brain, and he'd be fine. And then we'd show him a picture of his doctors back in Germany, and he'd go into that instant state. And then we'd reset it again, and he'd be fine. And then we'd show him a picture of his son that he was worrying about, and he'd go back into that state. To this day, I've never seen anything that significant or that obvious. And what we did is we mimicked and basically exposed him to every sensory experience he had had over the 2 years he was over there. So while he was in that traumatic state, everything he saw, heard, tasted, thought that was negative became a trigger. So it took us 3 months to reset a lot of those triggers. And after that was done, I started thinking, well, who else has this? And that's when I started checking my healthy population, if you will. And it turns out we all do.
You know, Dr. Troy's going to say, Grace, we're not going to be able to take these calls. We're coming up to the top of the hour. So, Tim, Jackie, Maureen, so sorry. And really, we're really praying that we can get Dr. Troy on next month again. But one of the times when I was with you and I was having the facial numbing, and you, again, could tell that my heart was heavy. And you said, you know, what are you afraid of? And I said, you know, when I was as a young mom with three little kids, before they knew what was wrong with me, a doctor said, this looks like brain tumor or MS. And it was trauma for me. I mean, it was so scary after everything we'd been through with high-risk pregnancy to be at that moment. And you said, I want you to go back to that moment. You did some muscle testing, and I lost all my strength. And it was like these familiar symptoms were bringing back a familiar fear for me. Again, that was incapacitating me. And you did this neurological resetting and then said, now think about it again. And my strength was fine. And you said, now it's up to you. Reinforce it with thoughts. You're a grown woman. You're not the young mom anymore. You're a grown woman of faith. Reinforce those thoughts with the truth. You don't have a brain tumor. This is what you're dealing with, and you can deal with it. Again, I felt like I got in a pass on life. And you really do believe that a lot of us walking around have some of these post-traumatic stress or just familiar memories that are totally locking us up.
Yeah, I think we all do. That we call them life accumulation stress at our clinic. And I've done lectures on this before, and one gentleman just stood up at the end and says, basically, you're talking about our baggage, right? I'm like, yeah. If you want to say it like that, yeah. I guess. But it's true. We all have it. And so the beautiful part of it is, yes, we get knocked down by life and we retain it as memories. But when you clear, we affectionately call them the clearings at the clinic. When you clear these emotional baggage, it's the Bible that tells you what to do. Mm. And so what we do, our Christians who know their Bible who live it, know that if you have resentment, the cure is forgiveness. And if you have this grief, then gratitude will come in. Wow. So everything that we actually recommend for them to do, the work, happens by knowing your Bible and knowing what to recommend. The clearings just kind of open the door for you to physiologically do what you're supposed to do now. And then we see people of faith just take off with it. And so most people, we have to teach them. And it becomes something, a way for us to introduce Jesus to people and have that conversation. But at the same time, the people who know that already, they take off with it like rockets.
You know, the Bible says, Jesus says, the enemy, that thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come that you have life and life abundantly. And the more that I learn about our emotional health, our physical health, our spiritual health, the more I see abundance in such a broader term. And I'm sure you see it quantified many times over. I just want to honor you, first of all, for your perseverance and just how you've been stewarding the gift. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to just pause and pray for a moment, but I just feel committed as a host of Live the Promise for you to see you walk in that kind of fullness and health. And so whatever we can do to help you find that place that God has for you, we're going to do it. And Lord, I just pray for my friend listening today. I pray that you would get them the help that they need so that they can know health emotionally, physically, spiritually, and every other way. Thank you, God. It is for freedom that you've come to set us free. We love you, Lord. Amen. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. We linked up Synapse on our show page today, so give it a call. And just remember, I get to have appointments there, even if every single one of you go there, right? Okay, hour two is up next. Another great conversation up ahead.